Hey Fixers, I'm Dr. Jeanette Benegas, one of the co-founders of FixSLP. Our platform exists to discuss the biggest challenges that are currently holding back the field of speech-language pathology. We present the issues with facts and invite you to be a part of joining this movement to make things better one conversation at a time. So let's fix SLP. Hey everybody, welcome back to Fix SLP. I'm Jeanette. I have another co-host with me today. We have Preston Lewis. Hey Preston.
Hi Jeanette, great to be with you.
We will get to who Preston is in a minute, but I just wanted to start by reading a review. I haven't done that in a little while. So this one is from the user, One Fixer. Love that. One Fixer said, look at all of the learning I'm getting for free. Give people an avenue for how to make change and they activate. Thanks for addressing what we grumble about every December. Thanks for the rating and review, One Fixer. If you haven't yet, go subscribe, leave us a review. 5 stars, please. We appreciate that because it gives us more visibility on the podcast charts. So today we're going to have Preston. Preston and I have a lot to unpack. I just told him that we might need to make this a 2-episode series, so we'll see. Preston, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Well, I live in the Little Rock, Arkansas area, and I have been an SLP for 14 years. I came to the field quite a bit differently. We all talk about what we want to be. When I was 17 years old, I was convinced that I was going to be a television broadcaster, sports announcer, weatherman, somewhere in that vein. I did a lot of sports broadcasting. Then about my senior year of high school, I got a scholarship offer for an athletic scholarship. But the funny thing about that was I didn't play a single sport, not competitively anyway, to be an announcer for a college basketball and baseball team. I took that scholarship and started out in broadcasting. Finished my 4 years of college, and then life happens. I met someone that I was very enthusiastic about building a life with. I wasn't convinced that that person wanted to move to Tupelo, Mississippi while I was going to take the morning weatherman job at a television station. So about that point, I had to find a field that appealed to me, that would sort of bring in communication and reaching out to especially the elderly. I had a couple of grandparents that had Alzheimer's. So I decided to go back to school. I took a job as a speech therapy aide at the Fayetteville Public School System in Arkansas. Then went on to post-baccalaureate into a program. Got my master's in speech therapy back around 2010. It was kind of a difficult transition, especially being post-baccalaureate, coming from a different field, and also being really the only male that we had in that cohort in my program. We can talk a little bit about that later. There's some interesting perspectives. Went to work in the skilled nursing facility kind of world for about 10 years. Really enjoyed it. A lot of rich experiences. I think that I've always been that kind of speech therapist that, because coming from a different background, I didn't feel like I was probably just more of a true clinician, getting to know my patients and not really mixing a lot with some of the academia and some of the other speech therapy world that are doing conferences and that kind of thing. But I often felt like, especially in that SNF world where we have productivity requirements and the demands were just so incredible, especially through COVID, that are there any other skeptics out there that are trying to find some ways to have conversations with rehab companies or maybe question some of these things about ASHA? Then when this movement came along, I was just blown away. I was like, wow, these are the SLPs that I've been looking for that are willing to ask some tough questions, have different kinds of conversations. So that's how I came to the field. I've got a daughter who's going to be 12 next month. And it's exciting time to be in the field. I still work. I did leave the SNF world back a couple of years ago. Now work in a psychiatric hospital setting, which is different. It keeps every day very interesting, and you have to keep your head on a swivel some days, but it's a field that I'm still very passionate about, and I'm happy to help this movement as well.
I just told someone earlier today, I haven't told you this, that you are Fix SLP's secret weapon. I have been talking with Preston. I don't know. I feel like with my mom being sick, I feel like the last thing I remember was 5 weeks ago rushing her to the hospital. So I know we've been talking longer than that. So I'm going to say like the last 6 to 8 weeks, you've kind of
Sure.
been communicating with me. And I found you after you found us on Facebook. You started doing some awesome posts. And I don't know if you were tagging us or someone was tagging us, but it was great. And I thought we need this guy on our side. And you are. So that's fantastic. You have some really cool interests, I think, that I don't know anything about. And that's sort of the world of politics and lobbying. And you've had some things to say that have been really helpful. We're all learning through this. And so why don't you tell us about that? What is that interest? And I don't know, you just talk. I don't even know what to ask you
Oh,
about
you're
it.
great. You're great. That's partly how when people say you go to a party and someone asks you, what do you do? I often introduce myself and say, I'm a speech therapist and a recovering politician. Because along with my history and being in speech therapy, I also was an elected city councilman for a town here in Arkansas for 3.5 years. Took on some tough issues, ran for mayor of that town, did not win. Running against incumbents is always very, very hard, but did the whole thing where we knocked on doors and got involved in issues, fought some really hard battles. I got out of politics in 2016. There was a local issue in my community where a petroleum plant was going to be about less than a mile from a school. And I fought very hard against that and won. But around 2016, politics changed certainly on the national level. It changed for me at the local level. Things just got too complicated. So I decided to step away from it. But getting involved in this movement, I think, blends two different things that are at least passions of mine, speech therapy, and also the political kind of issue-oriented side of advocacy for trying to achieve some of the aims that Fix SLP has, particularly surrounding the CCC. So using some of those skill sets to speak one of the filthiest languages out there, which is politics. I'm going to try to help and had some great conversations with some SLPs already in different states. And so, if I can help communicate with bureaucracies out there, whether it's state Medicaid boards, if it's state senators, state representatives on a certain level, then I'm happy to do that. There's a sort of a very ugly art to politics and trying to figure out what issues and how you communicate with those people. That's something that I have some experience in. And if I can offer passion and experience, then I'm happy to try to help.
It's very passionate. It's so good. It's so good. I'd like to say, I don't know that I can take credit for this, but I've deployed you to a couple states now, right? So
Yes.
are we allowed to talk about what
We
you've
are.
done?
Yes. You put me together with, and some of the others also reached out, the speech therapist in Michigan. And the ones in North Carolina who are just both sets of speech therapists, I'm amazed. These are the colleagues that I have longed to interact with because we get so insular in some of our clinician worlds that we're in. It's for me, this is the kind of passionate sort of advocacy about issues that really matter. Our state licenses and what they mean, that is huge. And in the case of both of those states, I think it's issues of dealing with some bureaucracies that are out there trying to get past some habits that some of these states have gotten into where we're going to do the same thing we've always done, which is, or do you have C's cards? Do you have your C's? This is an opportunity to engage those bureaucracies to kind of take a broader look at, hey, we've got state licenses, but I remain very impressed with both the Michigan and North Carolina SLPs. We had a meeting with one of the state representatives in Michigan. I was fortunate to be on that call and just trying to put those questions in context of this is what we do. We have state licenses. Yes, we all carried this certificate, but that is a product. And this is a nonprofit and this is being used as a right to work instrument. So if you can put that into a political terminology, I think then you can start to see some of those wheels turning to achieving that clinical equity that I think we've been looking for. I
If that
can't thank you enough because when I started this, coming at it from the side of somebody who's been in politics, sometimes you get that passion and anger. And we've certainly seen a lot of what I would call righteous indignation right now with the rate increase and some of Ash's antics, I think is how I would put it. What I have seen is, yes, there is passion with these SLPs, but there is such determination, I think, such quick processing of the information and being able to say, this is our goal, this is how we're going about it, and not really getting lost in the weeds. And it's made, I thought at first, maybe I'm going to have to kind of explain some of these things. No. They are explaining to me, and I am listening, and I am learning a lot from them, but also able to try to help bridge some of that political divide for them. And so I can't thank you enough. It's great to meet those kind of folks, and they have been awesome.
And that's what I was going to say. You led me to it, is
Okay.
that these clinicians, I am not really helping with these initiatives. This was the dream of Fix SLP, is that we would be able to equip clinicians to make the changes in their states that are needed. And I'm certainly kept in the loop, maybe not in full details, but hey, we had this meeting, it went well. I know what's going on. But every time that I have talked with the clinicians in Michigan and in North Carolina, they have been so professional and so calm and just, like you said, re just really smart, and they have it together. And I just want to say that out loud, because I know that pretty recently Asha has referred to them as angry SLPs damaging Asha's relationship with Medicaid. And that is not the case. I cannot see that as the case at all. So I kind of want to go to bat for these groups of clinicians who are advocating. And advocacy is hard, and it gets messy, and sometimes there's name calling. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit, but they're not angry. They're just so level-headed and just so impressive.
Right. And they are. And today, I mean, this was a great example. You got the message, I think, on Instagram. I received a private message from Michaela with this draft legislation of sort of defining that a speech therapist does this sort of job and they are, licensed. And it was plain, it was simple. And I was blown away because I didn't think we were at the point of even asking for draft legislation. And I thought, way to go. They're out ahead. They're just they take the ball and run with it. And yes,
Yeah.
it's something. And you're right. It's so easy right now, I think, to sometimes get discouraged, especially when people in our own profession might view us as a hostile element, when in fact, I think if anything, we're trying to do more to define what it is we do. And fill in some of these gaps here of advocacy where there has been a gap. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I've gotten questioned. I had a meeting with my boss recently, and I had planned on having the Fix SLP conversation and coming out as a fixer. I guess, can I say that? I'm
Yeah,
coming out as a fixer.
you're a fe not only are you a fearless fixer, you are the secret weapon.
Well,
So you get
thank you.
two names.
Well, goodness, secret weapon. That's great. There used to be a baseball player with that nickname. I'm warming to that. My boss came to me and we get together socially, and she's fantastic. She has presented at ASHA before. She's got academic credentials. She has her doctorate. Really terrific person to work for, very intelligent. And we get together socially, and I was prepared to have that conversation with her, and we sat down over drinks, and she said, "Well, I need to know about this Fix SLP thing." Her eyes were just so wide. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And I was a little bit on my back foot, and we got into the conversation. I said, well, first of all, is this a problem? And she said, no, I want to know more. And that's the thing I really appreciate about my boss. And I would hope that a lot of people, even if they're skeptics of Fix SLP, or if they are very passionate about ASHA, hey, that's great. But let's have a conversation. Let's ask questions. She, my boss, had gotten approached by some folks within the state of Arkansas, and some of them were a bit off put by some of the things that I had written. And she said, well, are you wanting to, tear down ASHA? And I said, well, I have my own feelings about ASHA, but main thing is I want to decouple this CCC and not seeing it as used as a right to work instrument. Make it more voluntary, make this thing grow. If anything, raise the requirements for a CCC, but make it an optional certificate. And when we started having that conversation, she was just more intrigued. I don't think we necessarily agreed on every position. And you know what? That's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. But I appreciated the inquisitive nature. And so for a lot of those speech therapists, they're thinking, is this going to go on my permanent record? Or is, are the ASHA police going to come lock me up? If your colleagues and, your organization that represents you is not willing to have a conversation with you, then that's kind of a problem. And so the message that I passed along for any of the Arkansas SLPs that are concerned about my positions or what it is I'm doing, let's have coffee. Let's sit down. Somebody can call me a dirty dog if they want and say that I completely disagree. I think you're dead wrong about this. That's fine. I am willing to hear that. And here's my position. So that's the thing that I think a lot of SLPs are afraid of, that conflict. I'm not. I tend to think sometimes a little bit of conflict or at least some skepticism is a healthy thing. And so that's my challenge right now to those that question that or to ASHA itself is, are you afraid of having a conversation with us? Because I'm not.
Clearly, I'm not either.
No. Self-initiation is not your problem.
Yeah, no, that's it. Actually, it might be a problem, but that's a different podcast episode. Yeah, so I want to, before I respond to that, I want to back way up because you said something that I don't want our listeners to lose because you made a really big, super huge announcement. You just kind of dropped it in a sentence. And so I don't want people to miss what Preston said. Preston said that the Michigan group got draft legislation. And
Right.
what that means is a state representative drafted a piece of legislation that would, if passed, and this is very early on, this isn't something that has, passed and been put into action, but if passed, would allow the clinicians in Michigan to bill Medicaid without the CCC. This isn't a meeting. It's not a conversation. It is a piece of paper with like the little lines that are each numbered by a lowercase letter in
Double
parentheses.
spaced.
Yeah, Preston's pulling it up. We wanted this kind of stuff to happen, and it's happening. And that is a huge win for every fearless fixer who has gone to bat online with their employers, with their state, who has had the tough conversations that Preston just mentioned, who has done anything, who has shared the content, who has rated and reviewed the podcast. This is a result of all of the work that people are doing to make changes. And this is the first, I'd say, big win. We've had some other small wins that I have not yet posted about, but will as I hop back into getting content out. But this is a big win. So I wanted to acknowledge that because you kind of just said it, and I thought people are going to miss what he just said. So that's huge. So stay tuned on that. We just got that today. You heard it first here, but it's a big deal. So
And
yeah.
I'm the kind of and I'm the kind of political geek that I will say I saw this and I was very excited for them. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to take this across the line from a draft bill to an actual bill, maybe at the next legislative session in Michigan, that look, I'll get on a plane, I'll go to Lansing, I will
Same.
show up at the committee, I will testify, I will knock on those doors. And that's what I know you're passionate about, and I definitely am, is that look, if you're in Carson City, or you're, in Austin or somewhere like that, and you've got something like that that Fix SLP is willing to really help you, along with, give me a call. I'll be
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
This is fun for me. I'm excited for them and what this means for speech therapists in Michigan and elsewhere.
Yeah. And I want to add on to that, that the conversation very early on with Preston was, can we hire you to work for us in this capacity? And Preston was like, I don't want any money with
Well, I don't
we
know about that, but no, I'm kidding.
No, he said, let's just see how this plays out. And so, right now I'm still doing this work for free. Preston is doing this work for free. We are here volunteering our time with no other agenda but to make things better for SLPs with our strengths. And this is his strength. And so that is how he's gotten involved in Michigan and in North Carolina, is that as clinicians have come to me with problems and said, this is the problem, this is what we want to do, I have said, I have the guy for you. Let me connect you with Preston. And I'll continue to do that, always asking him if it's okay that I connect him with people. I hope that this relationship with Preston continues and that maybe someday we pay his bills. I mean, who knows? Who knows where this is in 15 years? But yeah, Michigan, this is already going well. So yeah, we'll have a meetup. I got my sweatshirt on. We can
It's
all,
looking great. I
we can
like it.
all, th this is an exclusive. It's the only one that exists.
I've seen the t-shirt, but I've not seen the sweatshirt.
It's just me. I had it special made.
I
Maybe
feel like
we'll run one next fall so everyone can have one. But
envy is pouring over me right now.
getting up to Michigan, I'm so looking forward to that day when we can all have a meetup in Michigan. And I did just decide, I wasn't sure if I would renew my license there. I haven't been doing as much teletherapy work. And so I thought, I'm so busy now. I don't really have time for that, but I'm going to. So I can have a reason to even have my face anywhere in Michigan to fight these fights with people.
Michaela and Alexis, we're all going to force you to get that thing, even if we have to pitch in on it.
Yeah, I'll do it. All right. I've got a heart out today, Preston. What else do we want to talk about?
Okay,
What else
well,
is on our, we have a long list.
let's see. I'd like to talk a little bit about the state chapters and what you're doing on that.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I really like this reach out to the state chapters because one thing that in politics that we've seen over the last, in particular, last 15 years, especially with Citizens United and all of this PAC money out there that's influencing congressional races, is that a lot of the changes that are still possible are happening at the state level. And so, all the more reason that I think more robust state associations will help us now more than ever. Look at the podcast with the guest you had from Ohio, the things that they had done there.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's exciting. The Texas, SLPs, what they're doing with their state association. You had a great pod with Montana. Those conversations at the state level really have a lot to do with reimbursement. But I think it's more exciting, or even more exciting, to take that maybe somewhat into the private sector. Again, about finding those gaps where there isn't that advocacy right now. I can tell you during those COVID years in particular, I would have really appreciated to had a more robust, and this is nothing against the Arkansas State Association. They're doing great things with trying to teach rehab companies to do telehealth. I had a rehab company that I worked for that was not having it, not interested, but I was really grateful that ARCSHA was offering those services. But if we can have state associations that are starting to have at least an open conversation with some rehab companies about trying to address issues of productivity and rate increases that have not happened. You and I were saying today, we've had companies that are still paying the same rates from 2008, 2012. I don't see that advocacy right now at the national level. And trying to talk to Congress is just I don't see that having a big gain right now. But if we can have those conversations at the state level, that's going to be a big tool. And I'm just tickled right now every time I listen to one of the podcasts from the new state associations about finding out what they're doing. It's great.
Yeah. And they could do so much more if people would just join. And that, for me, has been a vision of mine personally since the beginning. Megan and I took a meeting very early on with someone who has a lot of knowledge of state associations. And it was clear that neither one of us knew what Fix SLP was going to be or what its purpose was or where we were heading. I mean, this was in infancy, which is funny to say because what we're like 6 months in, I don't know, it's still in its infancy, but this was in the first couple of weeks. And I said something to the effect of, well, we could support state associations if they need the support. We could be At one point, we said, you know, one of our goals is to pay for lobbyists if people like our clinicians in Michigan or clinicians in North Carolina needed it. Could we crowdsource and crowdfund lobbyists or lawyers? And we kind of decided early that that's not the direction that we were headed. But as things have progressed to where we are right now, it's clear that that's what needs to happen. And so it's kind of fun to have said that out loud. And now here we are. kind of starting to do these things. And I think it's because we're all learning, and we're learning that really the power is at the state level, and that those state associations are very helpful in helping to do things that we as clinicians need and want at the state. Because remember, we keep saying this, the power, the not the power, but the
The change.
regulation
Okay, the regulation.
of our field was transferred from ASHA to the states in 2016 when the last state licensing board was established. And so now the states regulate our profession, not ASHA. The states regulate. And so the states are who we need to be working with when it comes to advocacy and changes and conversations and workload caps and these, like you said, reimbursement. Reimbursement is a state issue, except for Medicare. It's a state issue because these are state insurance companies, right? Every policy, there's like Blue Cross Blue Shield of Pennsylvania, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, blue, I've had them all, I feel like, in the last few
Right.
years. There's Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Ohio is, so this isn't a national conversation with Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's a conversation with each of those companies within each state. And so these are state issues, and getting these state associations on board so we can come alongside them and be a part of the conversation and potentially contribute to the resources that they need is huge for me.
I think I could define, there's lobbying for lobbying's sake, and I'll paint you a picture of that. And then there's really what I would call effective lobbying that really gets to the crux of the issue in a way in which can actually enact change. So just going through the motions of lobbying, and I'm going to say this, is when you go to Washington, D.C., and you go inside the congressman's office and you're having a cup of coffee and you're all taking pictures of next to the plaque outside of the congressman's office. And oh, look where we went today. And everybody's got their Sunday best on. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot. There are a lot of organizations that are doing that. And at the national level, I think that moving those initiatives forward, it's hard. It's a big process. And I think that for our field right now in particular, effective lobbying is when you have a dozen speech therapists that live within an individual state senator's district showing up at a town hall and asking questions. Because the congressman, let's face it, they're relying on PAC money coming from so many different directions and so many different types of lobbying organizations out there, that they're awash in an ocean of money. But that local state senator, if he knows that he's got 12 SLPs in his district or her district, they are going to stand up and pay attention. And based on the fire that I have seen from our SLPs, I have the utmost confidence that they will follow through.
Yeah, I love that you just said that. It makes me so excited for what I have planned. My daughter is friends with another little girl who lives in the next neighborhood over, whose mom I have gotten to know over the last 5 years. They were in threes preschool together, and now they're eight in second grade together. And I've always known that she worked for a former state representative. She works in gas and oil, which is like big time.
Sure.
She's a registered lobbyist in Ohio. I just learned this, I think last night or the night before, and I asked her to come on the podcast to
Outstanding.
talk about lobbying and the work that she has done. And what she called it, what you just said, what you led in with was effective lobbying. She called it educational lobbying. Same kind of thing that you just said, but she said, I'm not just a lobbyist to lobby. She's like, there's a lot of dirty money in this whole thing. She said, lobbying is most effective when you can be an educator and educate well and help people understand why your issue is important. And she said, you really just have to be a good reader of content and policy or whatever it is that you're trying to lobby for. And learn how to communicate that in a way that people understand and make it important. And then you just educate everybody about it. And I'm like, Girl, you need to come on this podcast. So
Want to be there.
she travels again, still gas and oil. She travels a lot. So we're looking a couple weeks out. She's out of town now and out of town next week, but in 2 or 3 weeks, she's gonna record with me. So we'll hear how, another not related to speech pathology, but how she's doing it in kind of another way for another field, which gas and oil, it makes me nervous. That feels very important. There's a lot of fighting in gas and oil. So
There
she,
is. There is.
yeah. I
I
really
want.
hope that more states will decide to come on the podcast, as scheduling is always tough, because there's a million time zones and people work. So I try to make myself available. So if states are listening, reach out, get with me, we'll figure it out. But I have some more in the works. And another thing that I'm hoping to do is give them some advertising spots for free on this podcast, that if they have conventions or CEU opportunities open to people in their state or maybe people outside of their state, that they could advertise it for free on this podcast as another way to support them. So that's something I'm moving towards as well, as soon as I find a moment in time to learn how
And
to insert those.
I would like to close on the state chapter issue by really putting a challenge forward to some of these state chapters. And this has been identified in Arkansas by some of the folks that I've spoke with that deal with ARCSHA. Great organization. But state chapters are very sometimes school SLP centric. Again, finding those issues out there that bring on the clinicians that are just going to work day in and day out, who have kind of felt like they just haven't had a big voice. If we can start to have those areas of conversation, I can sense there is a willingness, particularly now with a lot of people questioning their affiliation with ASHA, there's a willingness to say, where can I put my investment as an SLP into? And if I've got an organization that's willing to have the kinds of conversations that I've been hoping people will have, that's what I want in Arkansas. And I am very grateful to ARCSHA for having conversations about telehealth. But let's talk about productivity. Let's talk about rehab companies that are, I think, sometimes misusing their SLPs. That came up a lot during COVID, where we were so focused in that world over Medicare Part A patients that were coming back from the hospitals and back in the old days of meeting RUG levels, where we just overlooked a lot of our Part B patients. And I know that kind of goes into a whole other conversation, Jeanette, but that for me was a big part of COVID, was when we saw those Part A's start to disappear out of our building. I picked up scores of Part B patients and found that there are so many needs within a nursing facility with your long-term care people that are there. I'll tell a quick side story. As I saw that caseload dwindle, I started thinking about communication. We had people wanting to communicate with their loved ones that were beyond the building, and watching them try to talk to their loved ones through glass. It was, oh gosh, it was one of the most kind of, I think the word trauma might be a bit heavy for it, but it's something I still think about. So I tasked myself with, how can I help these loved ones communicate? And at the time, this is going to sound a little strange, I figured everybody up here that has Medicaid can qualify for a cell phone, a free one. And so I picked up some Part B patients, helped them with the application process for getting a free cell phone, setting it up where they could, and they got a smartphone, some of them, where they could FaceTime with their loved ones. They could talk with them without having to go to a communal phone in the facility and wait for certain time slots. And that Part B billing, I'm sure, was great for the rehab company in terms of the reimbursements that they were getting, but it was more important to our facility and showing that the SLP can take on roles that sometimes maybe we've overlooked. And the sad part about it was, is that in the end, I still got transferred to a different building. And I thought, my goodness, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And so I would like to see rehab companies get approached by an SLP organization that says, look, there are other things that your SLPs could be doing besides just getting 45 minutes with this person every day so we can meet this reimbursement. I want that conversation. I hope there's somebody out there that'll pick it up.
There, I know people. I'm going to connect you with more people.
Good.
COVID was rough for me too. In the same rehab company that I have worked for years, I was the tribute. No one was allowed to travel but me. And so I was the only SLP traveling in the company all over the state. There were days they paid me for 7 hours of travel to see three patients. That was a tough time to deal with those same issues, but always in a different building and sometimes not being in a building for more than a week. But I like to admit my wrongdoings here on this podcast. I absolutely was the speech pathologist who was opening the windows so those patients could talk to
Yes.
their loved ones on the other side of the window without it
Yes.
being closed.
Yes,
Like,
absolutely.
everybody stand 5 feet back. I'm opening this window and no one knows how it happened and I'm leaving the room. And then by the time I get caught, I won't be at this building anymore.
I will be 30 minutes down the road. There
Sometimes I'll be on the other side of the state. I mean,
you
come get
go.
me.
I can identify with that. I won't self-incriminate too much, but
Love to self-incriminate on this
we did a lot of
podcast.
outside therapy, and that we might have had a few loved ones that came by out there on the gazebo, and it was time well spent.
Yeah. All right, Preston, I think we need to wrap up this part one. I'm
Okay.
calling it part one. There's now needs to be a part two because there's still more stuff on the list.
There is.
So I've got to move on to my daughter's voice lessons.
All right.
Which I
Sounds great.
can't, I've tried before, cannot record the podcast and do a voice lesson at the same time.
We'll take care of that and we'll pick it up on the second half.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. If you have not yet checked out our sustaining partnership program, head to fixslp.com. You can read a little more about that. We're hoping that people partner with us at $5 a month. We don't have a Patreon, but it's pretty similar. That's how we're going to pay for our expenses. I'm vetting a lawyer to look at some financial stuff, and we can make more movement the more money we have to use. So thanks for fixing it. Bye, everybody.